1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we will spend our time this morning. I would encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Good morning to everyone. Happy New Year. New year, new theme, new hopes and aspirations. We are going to focus our attention this year around Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. And we're going to encourage one another to proclaim Jesus to all nations. And throughout the course of the year, we will be mining these words of Jesus. We will give special emphasis to all that he says in these two verses. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This morning, we want to put first things first. And in an attempt to do that, I want to encourage each one of us individually to think about preaching the gospel of Jesus to yourself. And so we're going to spend our time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. And we are going to encourage everyone individually to daily practice the self-discipline of telling yourself the good news. Of daily practicing the discipline of telling yourself that Christ died for your sins. And daily practicing the discipline of telling yourself that he is able and he is willing to save you. And so we're going to talk about how to do that, and then we are going to talk about why this is important. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, we read, "Moreover, brethren, I..." And the I of this verse is Saul of Tarsus, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the chosen apostle of Jesus Christ, that Jesus filled with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is carrying the apostle Paul along to write these words to the church of God at Corinth. "Moreover, brethren, I declare, I make known to you the gospel. I make known to you the good news which I preached to you." We can read about him preaching the gospel to them in Acts chapter 18. And so the word "preached" here is the Greek word that we get our English word "evangelize" or evangelism. And by definition, that's what our theme for the year is. We are emphasizing evangelism. We are emphasizing proclaiming the gospel to all nations. But this morning, we are encouraging each one to put first things first and to preach the gospel to yourself first. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received," a word that means to take to oneself. And so Paul went to Corinth and he preached the gospel, and there were some who took that gospel to themselves. And he's writing to those people that took the gospel to themselves, that received the gospel individually, who now are a part of this collective local church, the church at Corinth. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." The gospel is something that can be declared. It's something that can be preached. It's something that you can receive. And it's something that once you have heard it, once you have received it, you can stand in it. And then verse 2 says, by which. Those two words are communicating through. They're communicating means. And so the gospel is something that through, it is the means, verse 2, in which we can be saved. We can be delivered. We can be rescued. We can be protected. And so what all of that calls us to do and to think about and to pursue is what we need to be saved from. There is something to be saved from. There is something to be delivered from. There is something to be protected from. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the good news which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. Verse 2 has a very important word right after that word saved, and it's the word if. And so what the word if is communicating there is condition, conditionality. The gospel can be declared, it can be preached, it can be received. We can stand in it, we can be saved through it if you hold fast, if you keep firm possession of. And so the gospel is something that you can receive, but it's also something that you must hold fast to, that you must keep firm possession of. And then he defines it in verse 2 as that word which I preach to you. What is the gospel? It is a word of good news that can be declared, it can be preached, it can be received, we can stand in it. It is able to save us if we hold fast to it. And if we fail to hold fast to the word that is preached to us, verse 2, then it is possible for us to believe in vain. And that expression, in vain, literally means without effect. Without effect. And so, is the gospel able, verse 2, by which is it the means through the gospel can we be saved? Yes, unless we believe in vain, unless our belief is without effect. And so we want to avoid that at all costs because we want to hold fast to that which is able to save us. And so what is the gospel that Jesus' chosen apostle, that Jesus' Spirit-filled apostle, what is the gospel that Paul preached to the Corinthians that they received, in which they were standing, that was able to save them, that he's encouraging them to hold fast to unless their belief is in vain? Verses 3 and 4 declare it to us. For I delivered to you first of all, for I delivered to you of first importance, which I also received. And that expression is so important because Paul wasn't preaching to them a gospel that he made up. Paul wasn't preaching a gospel to them that he got from another man. Paul wasn't preaching a gospel to them that he had received from an angel or some other spirit. Paul was preaching the gospel to them that he had received from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus himself. We can read about that in Acts the 9th chapter, and Paul will talk about that throughout the book of Acts. The book of Galatians fleshes some of that out. And in all of Paul's writings, he talks about his personal encounter his experience with Jesus and how Jesus spoke to him. And when Jesus spoke to him, when Jesus declared the gospel, when Jesus preached the gospel to Paul, he received it. And he was standing in it. And he was saved by it. And he was holding fast to it. And his belief, it wasn't in vain. And so he delivered to them, first of all, of first importance, what he had received. Number one, that Christ died for our sins. And he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And verse 5, he was seen. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what I need to do first and foremost in the context of proclaiming Jesus to all the nations is to proclaim Jesus to myself. And so how do I do that? Well, the way I do that is by looking at verse 3 and seeing it for what it is in truth. Christ died for my sins. My sins. That's whose sins he died for. He died for my sins. He was buried because he died. And the reason why he died is for my sins. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures to declare that everything that he said and everything that he did was acceptable to God himself, Romans 1:4. The resurrection of Jesus Christ declares that his sacrifice for my sin is sufficient. Verse 5, he was seen in the flesh because he experienced the bodily resurrection. He was seen by Cephas, he was seen by the 12, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, he was seen by James, he was seen by all the apostles, and then he was seen by Saul of Tarsus, verse 8, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. And the call for the Corinthians, the call for you, the call for me this morning is that I would see him by faith. Why is it important for me to preach the gospel to myself? How many of you have ever heard someone tell you to do this? Put your own oxygen mask on first. That's an interesting Google search. There's a lot to that declaration when you sit down on an airplane and someone says, put your own oxygen mask on first. In the context of airplane safety instruction, it serves as a metaphor for self-care. You must secure your own well-being, oxygen, before you can effectively help others, as running out of air leaves you unable to assist anyone. The principle of put your own oxygen mask on first applies to caregivers, parents, and anyone in a helping row, emphasizing that prioritizing your physical and mental health isn't selfish. It isn't selfish, but necessary. Isn't that interesting? Our theme verses for the year make the point that it was necessary for Jesus to suffer, for the Christ to suffer. It is necessary that we prioritize self-care in order to have the reserves to support others to prevent burnout, to ensure that we remain capable. My mother has said a lot of things to me in my life that have meant a lot to me, but I don't know that she has said anything more helpful to me in my life than when she said to me sometime around my senior year of high school, "Do you know what your problem is? Your problem is you are and have always been your own worst enemy." Anybody else can relate to that? In looking at all of this, put your oxygen mask on first, it's interesting that there are those who make the argument that the most influential person in your life is you. Because of all the voices that you listen to in your life, the one that you listen to the most is your own. And so I'll tell you what my voice does to me, because I recognize that I am my own worst enemy. What my voice does to me is it just sabotages me all day long, every day. And you know why that is? It's because when it comes to this business of proclaiming Jesus to all the nations, there is someone who is very much not interested in us doing that. He is defined by Jesus as the enemy. And the enemy is a liar. And what the enemy does to you and to me is he lies to us about ourselves. He lies to us about God. He lies to us about Jesus. He lies to us about the Holy Spirit. He preaches a false gospel. He tries to convince us and to deceive us into believing that the good news doesn't apply to you. He tries to deceive you into believing that Jesus didn't die for your sins because your sins are just too great. He lies to us and tries to deceive us into believing that it's just not possible for Jesus to save you because you know what you've done. You know what your sin is. You know how great your sin is. How could Jesus possibly be willing to forgive you for your personal individual sin that you have committed against him? Does anybody watch Scooby-Doo anymore? I don't know. I almost put an image up. But Scooby-Doo is just, I think they still make Scooby-Doo. But Scooby-Doo's great, right? It's just mystery, and at the end of the episode, almost every episode, Scooby-Doo and the gang, right? They finally get to the bottom of who it is. But the person that's been wreaking havoc, he always or she always has a mask on. And so how every episode ends is there's this great reveal where they remove the mask and they ask the question, well, who is it behind the mask? And so the meme is, you remove the mask and it's you. Others speak of illusory truth effect. We know that better by its definition. If you tell yourself something enough times, then you're more likely to believe it even if it's false. When you practice self-care, the experts tell us, you may feel calmer. Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace within? because the good news is for you and Jesus died for you and you believe He is able and willing to save you. When you practice self-care, you may feel more grounded. Well, isn't that what the gospel is about? Chapter 15, verse 1, it's about standing. It's about having a place to stand that is firm and fixed and secure. When you practice self-care, you may feel more energetic. Do you know what the devil wants to do to me and what he wants to do to you? He wants to flood your heart with darkness. Because he is not in the light. There is no light in him. And so as you think about your life, if your mind and your emotions and your will is wearing you out, then who is the prevailing voice in your life? When you practice self-care, you may feel healthier, you may sleep better, you may eat better. One of the most amazing things to me about Jesus is that despite all of the pressure that was on him in his earthly life, he could just lay down in the back of the boat in the middle of a storm and go to sleep. When you practice self-care, you may have an easier time managing relationships. You may have less anxiety or fewer negative thoughts. You may feel better able to cope with challenges. Beloved, preaching the gospel to yourself is not selfish. It's necessary. And so if we are to overcome the world, if we are to achieve victory by faith in Jesus Christ, then we must have faith in Jesus Christ. We must believe that the good news is for me, that Jesus died for me, that He is able and willing to save me. And when we internalize that great truth, then and only then will we be in a position as individuals and as a collective church to proclaim Jesus to all the nations. The final verse I want to draw your attention to before we sing a song that speaks to the faith that we need to have in what we're talking about this morning, that the gospel of Jesus is for me, that He died for me, that He's able and willing to save me, is John 3, verse 16. How do we preach the gospel to ourselves? John 3, verse 16. We're not talking about rewriting the Bible this morning. We're not talking about rewriting the Word of God or misrepresenting Jesus. What we are encouraging one another to do this morning with John 3:16 is to see how it is intended for us. How it is intended for you personally. And so here is what John 3:16, here's what it means. For God so loved you. You believe that this morning? Maybe that's what's kept you from obeying the gospel. It's just too good to believe. Just too good to be true. And so that's where coming to know God is imperative to believing these truths that are hard to believe, because what we learn about God is that God is love. And the God who is love, He has created you in His image because He wants to love you and He wants you to love Him. And so His greatest demonstration of His love for you, Romans 5 verse 8, is that He gave His only begotten Son so that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And so, to quote my mom from a few years ago, maybe this morning what you need to do is to get out of your own way. Get out of your own way and let God love you. Receive Jesus and let His blood wash away your sins. Know that He is able and willing to save you. Number 451, let these words wash over you as we sing them together. And if you want to obey the gospel right here, right now, we'll assist you in doing that as we stand and as we sing.